Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
For years, people have been asking me, what do you eat? Because you're so healthy and you're so into nutrition. And when I tell them I don't eat dairy, I kind of get a puzzled look from a lot of people. What do you mean? And so I'd like them all to read this book, Got Milked? The Great Dairy Deception and Why You'll Thrive Without Milk. It is by our guest, Alyssa Hamilton. Hello, Alyssa.
Hello.
It's so great to have you on. I am thriving without milk, and I think so many people should definitely read your book because you did your homework, and I learned a lot of things that I wasn't really familiar with, some of it, but it was like really in-depth. Tell us what got you interested and why you really want to educate people about what you call the Great Dairy Deception.
Well, you and Carl Lewis are thriving. it all started actually a couple of years ago. My friend was visiting from Amsterdam, best friend growing up, and she had with her two-and-a-half-year-old son, Oscar, and she said, I haven't given Oscar milk. She meant cow's milk. And he's 2 and a half. What do? You know, feeling guilty. And I was surprised because neither of us grew up in households where we drank milk by the glass. But now that she was a parent, clearly this was top of her mind. And so I realized this is something that really needs to be answered. Does Oscar need milk to be healthy, or do any of us need milk to thrive?
Yeah. I think it's no, correct?
Right. It's no. Well, you know, the thing is, we're told that milk is an essential part of a healthy diet, and that's how the Dairy Food Group reads 3 servings per day of dairy. We all need to get our 3 servings per day. But the definition of an essential nutrient is a dietary substance that is required for healthy body functioning. And we know, you know, and Carl Lewis knows, and Maxine even knew with her son Oscar, who was, you know, doing great without milk, that plenty of bodies thrive without milk. So it's kind of crazy. Milk is high in calcium, and calcium is essential for healthy bone development. But so are many other nutrients that don't get the same spotlight, like magnesium and vitamin K. We're told to get these other nutrients from a variety of sources, but not so when it comes to milk. The Dairy Food Group is set up so that we get virtually all of our calcium from one single food, and that's cow's milk. And no food deserves that special status. That cow's milk doesn't deserve to be its own food group any more than pumpkin seeds deserve to be their own food group, because they're high in magnesium, which is a nutrient that North Americans tend to be low in. So it's really time to reconsider this. You know, it's ingrained, I think, in all of our minds that we really, we're going to fall apart if we don't have our 3 servings per day of dairy. The other thing that's important to remember is things are different now than they were when the recommendations were first set. So they're different in terms of our nutrition knowledge, they're different in terms of the diseases we're suffering from, and they're different in terms of the demographics. The majority of adults can't digest the lactose in milk, and the statistics are pretty astounding. 50 to 80% of Hispanics, 60 to 80% of Ashkenazi Jews and African Americans, and almost 100% of Asians and Native Americans can't digest the lactose in milk as adults. Add to that a growing body of literature that's actually questioning even some of the virtues of milk, and it's time. The most sensible thing to do at this point is to get rid of the dairy food group and move dairy foods that are high in protein, low in added sugars, to the protein group so that it becomes an example of a food that you can have rather than one that you must have.
Oh, that makes so much sense. You know, one of the things you talk about in the book is D-galactose, which is a highly inflammatory sugar. Tell us more about that.
That's right. So this one of the studies, the most recent study coming out in 2014 out of Sweden, published in the British Medical Journal, tracked over 100,000 women for about 20 years and found that the women who were the heaviest milk drinkers, so 3 cups or more per day of milk, were at a greater risk of mortality for diseases such as cardiovascular disease and cancer, as well as a greater risk for bone fractures. And they suspect that what happens is the lactose in milk, when we digest it, it breaks down into this highly inflammatory sugar, D-galactose, which actually every lab technician knows if you want to age your mice, you just inject them with a dose of D-galactose. So it's been proven to accelerate aging and just increase inflammation in animals. So there's they want to do more research to understand the correlation between the heavy milk drinking and the increased risk for diseases and bone fractures, but they suspect that that could be one of the agents that's responsible.
Another thing you talk about in your book is that pediatricians are saying too much milk consumption is the most common nutritional problem they are seeing among their patients, leading to iron deficiency diseases such as anemia.
That's right, and it's pretty extraordinary because it's not surprising if you go to the MyPlate, the USDA's Choose MyPlate website. Milk looks like this perfect food, and so it's clear now that parents are reading that as the guidelines, 3 servings per day for everyone older than 3 is a baseline, because this is what pediatricians are seeing, that their patients, the parents of the patients, are giving their kids too much milk. And what happens there, again, they're not sure why this is leading to anemia. There are two possibilities. One is that the kids are drinking so much milk that they're not eating other iron-rich foods. The other is there's some research suggesting that calcium and dairy products in general actually block iron absorption. So there are some risks that we don't read about anywhere, really, and that's why why I wrote the book.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that there needs to be some balance in the messaging. We hear about all the wonders of milk, but we don't hear about some of the downsides. And also, I think we really do. We're not aware of all the calcium-rich foods that are around us. Not even the dairy industry disputes the fact that nobody needs dairy to get all our essential nutrients. Their consistent response is that dairy is the most palatable and convenient source of calcium, and it's simply not true. Sales aren't showing that. Sales of milk are plummeting, and I actually spoke to the director of the Office of School Nutrition for Detroit Public Schools. She was saying that her kids are asking for water. They're not asking for milk, and yet she only receives funding to give her kids milk and not funding for the water station she needs so the kids can have water when and where they want it. So it's simply not true that everybody is loving their milk and we're getting our calcium from milk, and there's so many other sources. And in fact, kale, broccoli, bok choy are all have higher calcium absorption rates than milk does. We tend to think that another myth, that milk is the most bioavailable source of calcium, and that's not true either. And also, I mean, who knew that 2 tablespoons of dried ground basil has almost the same amount of calcium as a glass of milk? So all those fruits and vegetables that we're told to eat more of are also the foods that are super high in these bone-building nutrients.
So when you make your spaghetti sauce, put a lot of basil in, right? You're talking fresh basil?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, you know, if you're using canned tomatoes or bottled tomatoes, most of it is preserved with calcium, a derivative of calcium. So actually, even tomato sauce is high in calcium.
Oh, good. Well, Alyssa, this has been fantastic. The book is Got Milk, The Great Dairy Deception and Why You'll Thrive Without Milk. How do we learn more about you and your wonderful work, Alyssa?
Well, you can go to HarperCollins' website for Got Milk and find out about the book there. You could also go to the Yale Press website for information about my last book about Squeeze. And you can just Google the book and see all kinds of articles that have been written about it. So,
thank you so much, Alyssa.
Thank you.
Oh, good. Well, thanks. Yes, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Have a great day and stay well.